That's the theme of our thoughts today. There's been the last 4 weeks we've been talking about young people in particular. And I know Malcolm and Lydia, Hugh have all had parts to play in that. This title I've got this now is Encouraging Young People. So that word encouragement, it's so very, very, very important. And I would dare to say, although we're talking about young people, we all need encouragement at any and every stage of our Christian lives. I remember when I was a very new young Christian, a very old man, he's probably younger than me, but he said, you know, son, he said, you've just begun. Now, it was a little bit of a put-downer, really, but I know what he meant, because obviously the Christian life is a life. It's not just a lifestyle, it is a life. And therefore we need encouragement as we go along our way. I worked for a little time in the Boys Brigade, and the man who was leading me, Alan Troop, he was a very great, very inspirational. And he said, you know, he said, I've been an army officer. I could take an army cadets unit. He said, I'd rather do this because the Boys Brigade was founded on Christian principles. And one of its main saying is to bring young boys to Christ. And of course, the girl guides would be similar. So encouragement. Yes, encouragement. So having looked through this morning, this last week, I had to say to myself, now, what is it then that we are encouraging people about? And we looked at 1 Timothy 3, and I want to just read a little section of that one, 1 Timothy 3, because we've been doing this in our readings during the week that I've been reading. And it said, here is a trustworthy saying, if anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, he desires a noble task. Now the overseer, then he goes on to say, must be above reproach, no criticism. And of course that goes for us in the church collectively. Sadly, of course, there's been some adverse publicity about the Christian church in the secular press, quite rightly so as well. But so therefore we do have to be very, very careful, very circumspect on how we conduct ourselves. And we're talking about young people. We want to encourage young people. They are the next congregation that will be sitting here in another 10, 15, 20 years and more. They will be the next congregation. And if we don't hand things on to them now, faithfully and truthfully, then they won't have any grounding to stand. And so, encouragement, yes. And the point of that reading or part reading I gave you in 1 Timothy 3, 1 to 7 is character. It stands on character. The thing that Paul was looking at was not how gifted the Ephesian church was. It had lots of gifts. But he had to rebuke them because their characters weren't up to their protestations. In other words, they were up there in front doing things, apparently leading things, apparently on top of their game, so to speak, to use a phrase. But he had to reproach them because of their characters. Their characters did not measure up to what they were alleged to be standing for. So therefore, when it comes to young people, of course, it's a word, of course, back to ourselves, isn't it? We always say that when you point a finger forward, four fingers, of course, point back to ourselves. That's an old saying. Whenever we point a finger, four fingers point back to us. So whatever we say to young people or about young people or to encourage them, we have to look back and look at ourselves. And on this question of encouragement, and again, as another put into it, I go to Snaresbrook once a week for a couple of hours, and partly there to support people who might want to come and pray. I had a very good session last week. Three or four people came, and we had a good time talking about the things of Christ. But there's a lady who is amongst that group I've known now for some 4 or 5 months, had been a Christian at one time, and when we first met her 6 or 7 months ago, she said it's all hypocrisy. She gave it all up 20 years ago. And I said, oh, what did you give up? Well, I still give to charity, she says. Okay, that's fine. But then she gave me some devotional books from the Leprosy Mission. Said, Astrid, you need these more than me. No, I gave it all up. Now, I don't know the whole story. I can only guess part of it. But what I'm saying is this. We can get offended even within the Christian body, the Christian church. We can get offended and it can stop our Christian profession. And I think with this dear lady, I think that's what had happened with her. Somewhere along the line, she'd not been encouraged, she'd been discouraged, and so therefore it had stopped. Anyway, I'm glad to say that she'd warmed up considerably over the last few months, and we've chatted a bit, and she came to a communion that was held at the amongst for the staff there. So I think she is beginning to warm up. But anyway, I come back to that same theme, encouragement. We need encouragement at any and every time, every part of our lives. Now, how then do we encourage young people? We don't want to just sort of talk down to them. That's the last thing, particularly in this century, 21st century, the last thing young people want is to be talked down to. There was a time when you just believed everything your adults told you. Not so today. Youngsters will question us, and maybe there's some wisdom in that, but we have to justify or be that character that carries with us what the things that we are teaching. About a year ago, I spoke on this similar subject here, and it was called Passing the Baton. That was the theme that I had, Passing the Baton. And it was at a time when the Olympic Games or some of the games are on, and of course, you know, when you pass the baton, you're in a race as a team. So if you get two teams, there might be, say, five or six in each team, and the baton, which is held by one of the person, as one runs, the baton is passed to another, then that person carries on running, and then another, and that person carries on running, and the person who eventually gets past the winning post don't win for themselves, they win for the team. So it's a whole teamwork. But that theme of passing the baton is so very important. What we pass on to the next generation of young people is so important, passing the baton. And of course, if the baton is not passed on quickly or if it slips from somebody's hands, then of course the whole team suffers. And of course, we can suffer as a church if we don't have a vibrant, knowledgeable, keen, enthusiastic, Holy Spirit-filled group of young people who will be following us from behind. I have great praise for St. Mary's here, the young people here, because great praise, I've said this many times over, I'll say it publicly now, because young Aaron, who's taken over the temporary lead for the young people, works hard and faithfully. And there's a whole lot of people there who are behind him and works with him. And I go there just once a month. I don't do anything, but I'm just there, just to signify that we are all part of the same church going forward. So it again comes into example and passing the baton. Now you might say, and I've alluded to that slightly, that you don't have any gifts with young people. I don't particularly think that I do either, actually. I don't see myself as a young person's leader. But I do see myself as part of the group or identifying with the church. So we're part of the group. So what we are, again, comes into what we're projecting to others. So how do we set about it then? Well, I love this phrase here. Run the race that is set before us in one of the readings that we have. Run the race that is set before us. The Christian life is a race. It is a race. It's not just picking up on Sundays or Wednesdays or whatever day we like. It's not just picking up and dropping it. No, it is a race. It is a constant race. Now, I don't mean to that we have to live in abject fear. Oh, no, our God is far too gracious and loving for that. God loves us, is with us, is in us with part of it. Again, I come back to another conversation I had at Snaresbrook. A young man came to the door. He crossed himself half a dozen times. I encouraged him to come across the boundaries. We never asked denominations. You can half guess it anyway. But then I picked up a New Testament and we read it through it on Psalm 23. When I walk through the valley of the shadow, the Lord is my shepherd. And it was alien to him. He didn't really sort of know the background scripture, though he was being at least the ritual he knew. I know when I worked in Belmarsh Prison, the priest there would prostrate himself flatly on the floor in great sort of gesticulations of fervor, etc. He wasn't very great on the scriptures, though. He didn't like us having all these Bibles sitting around. But there you are. People have their various takes on things, don't they? And that brings me on to that next thought there, really. How can we pass things on if we don't, first of all, have it in ourselves? I love that word, another 3:16, Colossians 3:16. It says, or perhaps I should read it to be more correct than I should be. Yeah, Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with all gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So again, I come back to the first few words. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Dwell is another bit of an old-fashioned word, really, isn't it? Dwell to me means, yes, we might say live in. It means sort of it's there. It's sort of it's just in there. It's there. And I do believe, coming back to young people again, that what is taught to young people, they actually, it may well sort of sink in and be in there. And it's there. And when the word can be brought back to life, then of course it becomes part of their life. And again, I say that partly from experience as well. And I've said this half a dozen times again, please bear with me, but when I went to day school secular, we had a headmistress, Miss Ward, and she made sure that scripture was read in her school. And I didn't know that till 25 or so years later, and I met her in the local village, and I said to her that I'd become a Christian. And the thing about it is that those stories that I'd learned in that, yes, day school, they all came to life when I opened my life to Christ. And Miss Ward said to me, yes, she said, I made sure that scripture was read in my school. Praise God for Miss Ward. She's in heaven now and receiving her reward. And I just pray there are lots more like me who heard the word through her school. But again, we can't pass on anything that we don't already have in us ourselves. And the Holy Spirit brings to mind the things that have been taught to us that reside or dwell in us, because God has done it. So soak yourself. One of the mottos of this church, isn't it, is be saturated with the word of God. We use that phrase, and of course it's rather nice. We've had some lovely downpours, whether perhaps we were quite pleased about it at all, but I got soaked the other day. I didn't mind in the least, but that's what it means to be saturated, isn't it? Saturated. We're saturated with the word of God, soaked in, full of, complete. Yes, so God will there. And of course, is confirmed yet again. My word will not pass away. My word will not be void. It will return to me. God's word is life. It stays. It's there. And it's why one of the great sort of assaults on the word of God, and it has been in history, and it took men's lives and women's lives probably too, to get this printed in the vernacular. It is the word of God residing. We read it for ourselves. It can live in our hearts. It can be part of ours. So again, we come back to young people and thinking of them in particular. Yes, young people don't think the same as we do, don't think the same as I do. They don't keep quiet anymore. When you have an assembled together, they butt in and things like that. And I admire Jonathan, who I tend to work with, having these youngsters butting in. But the wonderful thing is this, that they do take things in. They've had a certain amount of license to sort of express themselves, but they do, because once they're tested, they do take things in. So I think we have to learn, and I have to learn, and us older generations have to learn, to let them have flap their wings a bit, perhaps you could say, because it does, in fact, come in and it soaks in. So do pray for the young people of this church. Yes, the word of God is being preached, and that word of God is residing in their hearts. And as it does, even if they were to drift away or appear to drift away, that word has been preached. And I am confident that God will bring his word back to mind and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit can only work on what's already there. And it can, sometimes from an outside source that they have no knowledge whatsoever. And I give another example of that. With the Gideons, I went to a local school about a year ago, and one of the young boys who lives in our district was in year sevens that year. Spoke to him about 2 or 3 weeks ago, and he reminded, yes, he'd received a New Testament from us. And then he said a strange thing. He said he doesn't believe in God, but he does believe in an afterlife. Now, I scratched my head at that. I didn't make an issue of it. I thought, well, we'll just let that one bide there for the moment. But it's just odd the way people get things a bit jumbled up. Doesn't believe in God, but he believes in an afterlife. I offended my own brother, actually, 2 years ago. He was seriously, seriously ill. And I went down to Dorset to see him in the hospital there with wires all over himself. And about a year later, he actually said, he said, I thought I was going. And I very innocently said, where did you think you were going? Oh, dear, the balloon went up. He didn't speak to me for a while afterwards. And my father was exactly the same. He just said, atheism, 6 foot under, that's it, finished. You know, thankfully, my father did come to faith later in his life. And again, I think that was because he'd seen something. When I became a Christian, he said, oh, gone all holy, he'll never marry, he'll never get a proper job. But yes, I did those things and more. So again, it comes back to us living our lives and being consistent in our lives, doesn't it? And it's not always easy. I know both Joyce and I both come from families that didn't acknowledge God. My mother superstitiously gave us sort of a nod that way, but there was no real belief in God. And I think really it's only the faithfulness of others who taught me and taught Joyce as well, the faithfulness of others who led and encouraged, come back to that word, encouraged us in our faith. And I would say that for you and for I, that we will be encouraged and be encouragers as well of the word. So again, what is it we're going to speak about then? What are we encouraging them? What was Psalm 145? I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. A challenge now. Do we read the Word of God daily? Do we let that Word of God soak into us? Fortunately, modern technology has its ups and its downs. One of the up parts is that I get a reading on this little telephone in my pocket every day. We've been reading it this week. Every day there's something comes. Carol, who's sitting there, embarrassed her, she helpfully sends us helpful little tidbits as well of encouragement. Thank you, Carol. Encouragement. So we get encouraged and we encourage each other. Let the word of God dwell in you. So here you are. This is what we're doing. We're praising God. But do let that word soak. And that's the word I would say for you this morning. Let that word soak in your lives. Get a regular habit of reading the scriptures on a daily basis. And Eleanor Lang, the MP who came round here just at Love Loughton a few weeks ago, she saw us on our stall, saw the Gideon stand. She said her 17-year-old son is reading the Bible and he started and he's about halfway through the Old Testament. Well, praise God that a member of parliament then has got some sense of guidance from the Word of God. So we can pray in every way, can't we? So thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your blessing. Lord, may we be encouragers. May we encourage each other. In the name of Jesus. Amen.